Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey there, folks. Don't touch that dial. You're in the right place. It's a voice from the past with some news. I am back. And today was supposed to be the first episode of a new series called The Woody Overton Window, or as we're referring to it internally already, The Wow. Unfortunately, as many of you have probably heard, Woody has been sick, pretty under the weather. We planned to launch last week, and then he got sick. We planned to do it again this week, and thought he was going to be better, and he's kind of been challenged. And so he is still out of commission, and we didn't feel like we could delay this anymore. We basically have known what we were doing since mid-May, but just didn't have a way to get this show out of the barn until now. So I'm going to press forward as a solo act today and hope that Woody can be with me next week when we plan to record again. Throughout the month of May, I've heard from many aglets across North America, and all six of them wanted to know where the hell I have been. So let me do a little bit of explaining. I'm a true crime fan, but I also have a bunch of other interests. I love sports, pop culture, music, and yeah, I like politics too. Some of you out there have enjoyed it when I have ventured off script and offered things like the Stuff I'm Not Allowed to Report, or the bad rhymes in my Poetic Justice segment, or when I would create a game stupid trivia game for Woody and Jim to play against each other. But other listeners are more purists and prefer a complete dose of crime time with no aggo detours or shenanigans, shall we say. And so, you often hear when someone leaves a business, or when a TV series gets canceled, or even when a rock band breaks up, that there were, quote, philosophical differences, or, quote, they couldn't agree on a creative direction, or something similar. And, admittedly, many times that's complete bullshit, but in our case, it happens to be the essence of the issue, the essence of the truth. I'm not saying that we didn't have our share of Jerry Springer show like board meetings, because from time to time we did. But at the end of the day, we determined really that it all came down to one central issue, and that is the creative direction of the show. And I'm speaking about Real Life Real Crime Daily when I say that. Real Life Real Crime is obviously Woody's baby. And after months of trial and error, he decided, with input from Cindy, Jim, and me, and many of you through comments that you may have shared online, or even conversations you may have had, that Real Life Real Crime Daily needed to be true to its namesake and its roots, and to have a purity of focus on crime stories. And so moving forward, the Daily Show will be Crime Time all the time, and will be co-hosted by Woody and Jim. It's obvious at this point, but I will no longer be a co-host on The Daily Show. The show will also be changing its drop schedule, which I'll share with you in a few minutes. I've had a lot of unique life experiences, and all of you listening know Woody Overton's had a ton of unique life experiences, and Woody's experiences have been just about as different from mine as they could possibly be. But from a personality standpoint, friendship standpoint, when Woody and I are together, we always have fun. We enjoy each other's company. And while we almost never see an issue the same way, we tend to have really good discussions about issues. And so, you know, for those reasons and more, we decided to launch a new series together. As I said, the show is called The Woody Overton Window, and we'll be dropping 2 episodes a week right here on the Real Life, Real Crime Network, as I call it. Crime will certainly be a prominent piece of what we discuss on The Wow. Again, that's code for The Woody Overton Window, but we'll also venture into courtrooms and look at trials and testimony. We'll talk about news more broadly. We'll occasionally take one of those aggro detours, but you know, whatever we are doing, I promise you, we won't be taking ourselves too seriously as we're doing it. And so, you know, Real Life, Real Crime is kind of like a cable network at this point. It's like a TBS, an ESPN, or a CNN. The network will have 3 different series moving forward. On Mondays, we'll drop a new episode of The Woody Overton Window. On Tuesdays, we'll drop a new Real Life, Real Crime original. On Wednesdays and Thursdays, we'll drop fresh episodes of The Daily Show with Woody and Jim. And on Fridays, we'll drop a second new episode of The Wow. So it's one network that you subscribe to. It's 3 series to listen to, and it's the same drop schedule every week, unless, you know, it happens to be a holiday or something like that where we need to shake it up. Sorry that this has become mysterious, that really wasn't the intent. Basically, you know, we got into a fight. And we broke up. And then we realized we didn't want to be broken up, but we also didn't want to continue doing things the way that we had been doing them. And so, you know, we figured things out by mid-May, but like I said, we ran into issues. I was on vacation, and then Woody getting sick. And so we were forced to push things back. With Woody sick now, we just didn't feel it was fair to anyone to push things back yet again. So you might be wondering how we came up with the name The Woody Overton Window. And it actually comes from what's known as the Overton Window, which many of you may have heard of, say, a famous book that Glenn Beck wrote about a decade and a half ago now. But, you know, the Overton Window is a term or a model for understanding how ideas in society, ideas in politics change over time and how they influence the culture. So the core concept is that, you know, politicians are limited in what policy ideas they can support based upon where the Overton window is at any point in time. So, you know, what is the public ready for? What is the country accepting of? That's basically what the Overton window is. And so our name is a play on those words. The Woody Overton window to me and Woody means, you know, we're going to take on stories and topics that are sort of inside Woody's window, which is a bit different than the boundaries of the actual Overton window. It means I get to stray a little bit. It won't get crazy. This isn't going to turn into a gossip podcast, much as I love my housewives. It's you know, going to stay pretty true to things we both care about that are within that window. Woody, you know, can sort of tolerate. Okay. So, but the show is designed to be a conversation today. Obviously, it's a conversation straight from me to you. But when Woody is with us, it's a conversation, and that conversation does also include you. So please weigh in. Your opinions matter to me. They matter to Woody, and you know. So we hope you won't be shy. You'll you know, weigh in with ratings, reviews, use the social touch points to share opinions, and so.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
As they used to say in the circus, when a ringmaster couldn't perform, the show must go on. And so I bring you episode one of The Wow. I want to start today with just a few thoughts about the 80th anniversary of D-Day. The 80th anniversary D-Day celebration is actually happening today as I'm recording on Thursday. You're listening on Friday morning, but I got up early this morning to watch the D-Day celebration. And, you know, I couldn't help, I'd be lying if I said I didn't tear up, but I think all of America teared up if you watched it. You know, seeing vets, I mean, they're all now in their late 90s or north of 100 years old. And, you know, to see them honored for their heroism, when you think about it, that heroism, you know, it completely changed the momentum of World War II. It forced Hitler and the Nazis back. Provided the impetus for Allied forces to eventually take Paris back, I think, maybe 5-6 months later. 2,500 American soldiers gave their lives that day. General Eisenhower made an incredibly difficult decision to send those boys, those soldiers, onto Omaha and Utah Beach, knowing that, you know, depending on what you read, anywhere from 70 to 80% of them were going to be killed. The ceremony was beautiful. And I have to say that Joe Biden did much better than I had anticipated and delivered his remarks well. The 21-gun salute, taps, this flyover in a missing man formation, it was all special and it was all well done. And if you didn't get a chance to watch it, I'm sure you can go on YouTube or maybe you recorded it or some of these networks will replay it. But it really, really was well done. I couldn't help but think about this as I was watching. And the thought was really that I doubt whether today's United States is capable of mustering the kind of courage and patriotism to perform that kind of an act. And we talked about that on the Death of Journalism podcast that I produce along with John Ziegler. And John and I had conversations about that. And then watching the show, you know, it's hard to think that. I mean, two generations of virtual peace separates us from those soldiers. And it has certainly softened us, and it has certainly softened the younger generations. And so that, you know, that conviction that America stood for something more and the faith in God, most of these soldiers worshiped a God. You know, it took that kind of motivation to put 17 and 18 year olds, to get them to storm a beach in 1944. And so I think those of us with children or grandchildren in their teens or even early 20s would do well to sit down with them today, tomorrow, obviously, as you listen to this, and watch that ceremony together and discuss what America has truly stood for and why those values are as important today as they were back on June 6, 1944. this is not the land of the oppressor. This is not a country smothered in racism. This is the country that freed Europe and the rest of the globe from the greatest tyranny ever, and nearly 80 years later, we need to fight hard for the survival of our freedom and our liberty. Both are threatened every day. Moving on. And I'd call this our very first official story on the WOW. And as such, it is sponsored by Louisiana Funeral Services and Louisiana Pet Crematory that want me to remind you that the shit you're about to hear could never happen at their place. And I assure you, it couldn't. A chilling discovery was made in a Nebraska funeral home this week when an elderly woman who had previously been declared dead was found breathing. The 74-year-old, whose name is Constance Jance, was later officially pronounced dead at a hospital. An autopsy was later taken on the following day, which is last Tuesday. Glance had been housed at a place called the Mulberry, which is in a small town called Waverly, Nebraska, and she was in hospice care there. At a news conference, officials from the Mulberry stated that they believed Gantz passed away at 9:44 a.m., though their reasoning for this belief remains unknown. I mean, they actually said that in the press release. They don't know why they think she died then, because she obviously did. Afterward, her body was transported to the Boutheris, Mazur, and Love Funeral Home, where I guess she didn't like the accommodations very much. So the specifics of what transpired between Glantz's apparent death and when she was found breathing at the funeral home are pretty unclear. The discovery reportedly occurred while the funeral home staff was prepping her body for the funeral. And, you know, I was a bit squeamish to watch this when we were up in Broussard a while back, but the size of some of those instruments that they use in the embalming process could wake up the dead, but I guarantee they could wake up the still living. And so, you know, this woman comes to them and is breathing. So the funeral home calls for an ambulance immediately, and Lincoln Fire and Rescue began CPR on her before transporting her to a hospital. While an ongoing investigation takes place, it appears the nursing home has not committed any crime or taken or broken any laws. This is according to the local officials there. Not surprisingly, the nursing home, the Mulberry, is declining to comment on the incident. So we've seen some crazy stuff from funeral homes, but this one is right up there. So listen up, you people in Nebraska and parts south and east of there. It was Constant Glantz's time, and then it wasn't her time, and then it was her time again. But when it becomes your time, or a family member's time, or a time for your fur baby, or any other critter you consider a family member, you guys know who to call. You call our friends Roy, Kristen, and Kristen under that big American flag in Broussard, Louisiana, at Parish Forensics, Louisiana Funeral Services, and Louisiana Pet Crematory. They are skilled professionals. They know when someone is dead, and they know what to do with them once they are dead. And they're also really cool people, and we like them a lot. And so when the time comes, go to lafuneralservices.com or lapetcrematory.com, and remember to rest easy. Next story comes to us from Louisiana, the great state of Louisiana. And all I have to say about this story is, ouch. Louisiana lawmakers have given final approval to a bill that would allow judges the option to sentence someone to surgical castration after the person has been convicted of certain aggravated sex crimes, including rape, incest, and molestation against a child younger than 13. Several states, including Louisiana, currently can order such criminals to receive chemical castration, which uses medications to block testosterone production in order to decrease sex drives. But surgical castration, shall we say, is a significantly more invasive procedure. And so this legislation now heads to the desk of Governor Jeff Landry, who will decide whether to sign it into law or veto it. It sounds like he's going to sign it. Currently, there are 2,224 people imprisoned in Louisiana for sex crimes against children. younger than 13. Luckily for them, if this bill becomes law, it can only be applied to those who have been convicted of a crime that occurred on or after August 1st of 2024. So there is no grandfathering in of this thing, which I suppose makes sense. The sponsor of the bill, State Senator Regina Barrow, has said that it would be an extra step in punishment for horrific crimes. Yes, it obviously would. She hopes that the legislation will serve as a deterrent to such offenses against children. Quote, "We are talking about babies who are being violated by somebody," Barrow said during an April committee meeting. Quote, "That is inexcusable." While castration is often associated with men, Barrow said that the law could be applied to women as well. She also stressed that imposing the punishment would be by individual, case by case, and it's done at the discretion of the judge. So the punishment is not automatic. Okay, you're probably wondering if I was going to go there, if Woody and I were going to go there once I started. And yes, we were going to go there, but now I'm going to go there myself. And where am I going to go? I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the trial that took place and ended in the conviction of Donald Trump last week in New York. But, you know, before I get into it, and I'm not going to get that deep into the weeds of it, I want to share something that I think will surprise some of the listeners out there. I've actually never voted for Donald Trump. Having said that, I also did not vote for Hillary Clinton or Joe Biden. I was still living in California during both the 2016 and 2020 elections. And if you're living in California, you basically know your vote doesn't count anyway. And so, but I could not vote for any of those candidates in those past two elections. I usually refer to myself as independent. I guess if I was going to define it down anymore, I would say an independent with libertarian and conservative tendencies, but not a Republican. I care about the country. I care about the rule of law. I care about the caretakers of the country. And I want those people to be people of honor and principle. And, you know, Ronald Reagan said, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, it must be protected, and it must be handed on for them to do the same. I always remembered that quote from Reagan, and I've used it pretty often. And you know, one of the most dangerous things I've witnessed, especially over the last 10 years in American culture and American politics, is that, you know, when a group, whether it's a political party, it's a religious sect, it's a some kind of race-driven entity or sexual orientation-driven entity, a pro-abortion or pro-life group, whatever, once they decide that a competitor is the bad guy, is a demon in their own minds, they throw out any and all historical guideposts about the rules of engagement. It becomes the ends justify the means. And I've seen that in all kinds of cases, trials, political campaigns, etc. You know, they become so certain of the righteousness of their position that they'll do anything to win, literally anything. And, you know, basically, I think Trump is just a gigantic middle finger to the left, a giant middle finger to liberals. He represents everything they loathe. They were certain, and really the country was certain, that he wasn't going to win in 2016. They were so certain that they ran a bad candidate. Any one of a handful of Democrats would have beat Trump in 2016, including Joe Biden, if they'd have run him. But they chose to run Hillary Clinton. Anyway, what's commonly referred to as Trump derangement syndrome was born out of that 2016 election. And so since 2016, it has been an all-out effort to get Trump. And the trial in New York follows two attempted impeachments, a fake Russia scandal, pending court cases tied to January 6th, and much more. And so, there's a lot of predicate going into this trial in New York, including a district attorney in New York who basically ran on the pledge that he was going to get Trump. And so,
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Going back to the trial, polling suggests that about half of the country paid no attention whatsoever to this trial. They watched, well, you couldn't watch it, but they watched no coverage of it. They didn't read any of the transcripts. They were uninvolved completely. And then another 25% of the people watched some, read some watched some coverage of it. On a news channel, a cable network, social media network, et cetera, but that they didn't really understand it. So 3 out of every 4 people in this country either didn't understand or had no interest in this trial, didn't follow any of the coverage. And so, I think if I had to net it down, if we've got some of those people listening, if some of you are part of those 75%ers, I would just, discard all the legal mumbo jumbo and just say that, the conviction in that case is basically for inaccurately recording the reason payments were made to an attorney who had paid off a porn star who was threatening to go public with some shit about Trump. Namely that he had shtooked her, right? There are a number of grounds upon which the Trump team is likely to appeal the verdict. Most people weighing in give them very good odds at overturning the verdicts, but it's unlikely that any of that appeal process will unfold before the November of election. So no matter what, we're going to be hearing about that every day until November, and you're going to be hearing about it from both sides. It's going to be the sham trial with the corrupt judge from the corrupt DA on one side. It's going to be the Trump is a convicted felon, Trump is a convicted felon, Trump is a convicted felon from the other side. And, and to me, the real bottom line is this. The trial really did nothing more then exposed to, let's say, the few people that didn't know it before, and there aren't many, and confirmed to the many that did that Trump is a bombastic, self-centered, disloyal, sleazy guy who cheated on his wife. Well, that moved the needle in the polls going into November. In the United States I grew up in, those would have all been disqualifying traits for someone running for president. But when you look across to the other guy, to the other side, you see things that are, arguably even worse. A lot of people probably aren't aware of this or aren't following this. And really, I'm not following this other than, looking at some of the recaps. The Hunter Biden is on trial right now. And, I'm not going to spend any time talking about that case, but I do want to bring up one thing about the case, and that is that the prosecutors in that trial on day one presented Hunter Biden's laptop as evidence in this case, which is a case about Biden acquiring a gun illegally. So, yes, and I'm talking about that laptop, right? So an FBI agent testified that the FBI had acquired and verified that laptop as Hunter Biden's in November of 2019, meaning the Department of Justice had the laptop and knew it was real almost a year before the 2020 election. So you'll probably remember that the New York Post published a report about that laptop in the days, weeks leading up to the election, and immediately had their account suspended by Twitter, and information related to the laptop was censored as disinformation by virtually every other online source of news, from Facebook to YouTube to all others, to networks, the cast networks. And it went so far as the Biden administration producing a letter signed by 51 current and former intelligence community people involved in working for intelligence, including, I think, three, maybe it was even four former heads of the CIA. And that report claimed, that I'm paraphrasing here, that the laptop story displayed all the hallmarks of typical Russian disinformation campaigns. So the administration knew it was real, and they deliberately manipulated public opinion by having it discredited with this letter from these 51 intelligence community officials. And they then went and censored basically everyone. Everyone on social media, anyone, individual who tried to publicize the story, and obviously the cable networks and the broadcast networks as well. So, you know, there's no good side here, folks. when you look at what's going on in the country right now, nobody wearing white, nobody wearing, well, I should say they're both kind of wearing black. So at this point, I look at it like all there is policy, and what you interpret the impact of that policy to be on the country and for you personally and your family. There's nobody here who can assert a moral high ground, and it's really difficult to determine, you know, for real, who sits on the deepest moral low ground. I mean, it just is what it is at this point. Moving on. I got a story out of California that, having lived there for as long as I lived there, I just really can't believe. But Governor Gavin Newsom says that the Wallace-Annenberg Wildlife Crossing over the 101 freeway near the town of Agoura Hills is on track to be open by early 2026. So you may be asking yourself, what the heck is the Wallace-Annenberg Wildlife Crossing? And why is it crossing over the 101 freeway? So, well, first of all, the crossing will be the largest wildlife crossing ever constructed. It's over 200 feet long, and it's over 165 feet wide at its wide point across the roadway. So the purpose of this thing is to connect two natural landscapes that have long been bisected by one of the nation's busiest freeways. I mean, that 101 freeway is a freeway I was on virtually every day. It cuts through the San Fernando Valley and takes you on all the way up toward Santa Barbara and then up to San Francisco. But the stretch from East LA through downtown LA and through the suburbs on north in LA, that 101 and the 405 is the other you hear about, often are the two absolutely just worst roads in the country, busiest roads in the country, despite the fact that they both have 8 lanes, or maybe it's even more than that now. I can't remember. Maybe the 101 is 8 and the 405 is up to 10 now, or maybe 9 with the HOV lane. But these are huge, huge freeways. And so I saw this story and I just couldn't believe it. So the wildlife crossing, this is Newsom now. The wildlife crossing is just one example of how California is building infrastructure that connects rather than divides. With projects like this, we're reconnecting and restoring habitats so future generations can continue to enjoy California's unmatched natural beauty. The project, according to the governor's office, is more than halfway complete now. The construction has been going on for a couple of years. And in recent years, the interest in this project has really peaked dramatically because they began basically tracking certain animals. There's a famous mountain lion known as P-22, and P-22 is constantly in the news in LA whenever he's, geez, I'm not sure what sex the mountain lion is, but where whenever it comes into contact with people, there's some kind of report. So P-22 was seen in this person's backyard in Calabasas on Thursday night, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, the Californians are as fascinated by this as they are, you know, helicopters following car chases, interrupting the news. It's just a very weird component of California life. And so, you know, you have a bunch of these animals that have been on GPSs, and granted, a number of them, I don't know exactly how many, have been hit while attempting to cross one of these busy freeways. And that's always, when that happens, that is not just a news story, that is the top story in the news, that a mountain lion or a coyote was hit on, you know, this particular thoroughfare, blah, blah, blah. So the sympathy for this situation reached the point to where $58 million of taxpayer money and another $34 million of public donations, so it's that $92 million, was raised to build this bridge. And now, when you think about what I described as the dimensions of this bridge, I mean, if you're going to build one, you have to build it long enough to span across the freeway. So the fact that it's 200 feet long, I guess. The fact that it's 165 feet wide, I mean, what do they think is going to be, is like 8 T-Rexes, you know, 6 elephants and 4 woolly mammoths going to cross at the same time? I don't understand the 165 feet across thing. But that's really just the beginning of what I don't understand. I mean, how are the animals going to know this thing is there? Are they going to do big press release in a bunch of places that animals go for their stories? Are they going to post it on the social media accounts of wild animals in the area? Are I don't know. I mean, what if I'm at ground level and I'm a mountain lion? How are you going to get me to climb all the way up the hill so that I can get on the bridge to go back over? Maybe I'm stupid. Maybe they accomplish this with food or some other sense or something like that. I imagine they'll have to do something like that. But it does seem kind of weird that they just assume the animals are going to go over this bridge. Maybe I will be proven the dummy on that. But what's amazing is that the people have tolerated the construction of this thing because, you know, it's been a traffic nightmare. I mean, they try to do projects overnight as much as they possibly can there, but, you know, it certainly infringes on early morning commuters or, you know, people who leave the office later in the day. And, you know, this is at 2 years already. And so I guess it's going to be a 3 year from end to end construction. So, hey, I don't know. California has a current goal to conserve 30% of the state's lands and coastal waters by 2030. I don't really understand that, to conserve 30%, which officials say will ensure that wildlife can move across protected habitats more easily. This will allow them to find shelter, food, and water without human interference. Okay. It's also a little bit weird because the north side of the 101 around this location, Agoura Hills, where they're building this bridge, is significantly less populated than the south side of the 101 is. And so doesn't the bridge just become a way to bring more animals into closer contact with humans because they're in the less populated area and now they got a bridge to the more populated area. Again, I don't know. Maybe I'm just really missing it. But anyway, I want to thank all of you that that made it and stuck it through the end of this episode. I want to remind you that if you like what we are doing, please share it and tell your friends about it or go give us a rating or review. Thanks for listening to the first episode of the Woody Overton Window. Until next time, aglets.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.